we're going to go through a real life Bethesda lesson. So you guys are going to get to experience what it's like, what we do every week. And usually I will say we're probably going to fly through this a lot quicker than we normally do because, you know, there's things that take time. So, yeah, just kind of keep that in mind as we go through it. But typically we start our lesson with something called reviewing the story. But since you guys were all not here last week, we are not going to review the story this week. But just to kind of give you an overview, we start out with a little, we typically have about anywhere from like 7 to 10 questions that kind of jog everybody's memory. So normally, do we have that little guy or we didn't bring him? Okay, no problem. Normally I'd have a prop from the last week's lesson, which if you were here in the last session, we had a little guy and he was in a little casket. So normally I'd hold that up and I'd say, does anybody remember what we talked about last week? And then everybody would kind of, oh, I remember seeing that. And we kind of jog the memory there. But since we don't have that from last week, we're just going to start with scripture today. So I'm going to ask volunteers, would you mind reading our scripture for us? So anybody want to take the blue verse, verse 29? Yeah, that'd be great to see. Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you, Lynn.
But Luke 10:29-37. But the man wanted to make himself look good. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Awesome. Thank you, Lynn. Anybody, the green verse. Who would like to read us the green verse? Awesome. Thanks,
Jesus
Sarah.
Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Robbers attacked him. They stripped off his clothes and beat him. Then they went away, leaving him almost dead.
Thank you, Sarah. Next. Okay, awesome. And what's your first name?
Valerie.
Valerie. Awesome. Thanks, Valerie.
A priest happened to be going down that same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side.
Awesome. Thanks, Valerie. Next one, it's kind of brown. Thank you.
A Levite also came by. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side too.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. And verse 33, so like a dark blue. Awesome. Thanks, Marky.
But a Samaritan came to the place where the man was. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him.
Awesome. Thanks, Marky. We have a couple more. The reddish verse. Awesome. Thank you. Is it Lisa?
Liz.
Awesome. Thanks. I can't read in the dark.
Yeah. He went to him, poured olive oil on him and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn and took care of him.
Thank you, Liz. Black one. Awesome. Thanks.
The next day he took out 2 silver coins. He gave them to the owner of the inn. Take care of him, he said. When I return, I will pay you back for any extra expense you may have.
Great. We have 2 more. Valerie, did you have your hand up? Thank you.
Which of the 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the robbers?
Thanks, Valerie. Last one. May, do you want to read?
The authority on the law replied, the one who felt sorry for him. Jesus told him, go and do as he did.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for volunteering to read. All right. So we get to the fun part. I need some volunteers that are going to help us act out our story. If you were here last session, you know we always do this every time we act out our story. So I need a man. This man in our story is the man who is going to actually be laying down.
Oh, we're missing Nate.
I know, we're missing Nate, who did it last time, laying down and was attacked by robbers.
And then Nate's already here. Young.
Yeah, you're right, who can lay down?
Young.
Marky, it looks like you're the only one. You got to do it.
Go with the youth.
Okay, great. So this is our man. You can put it any, you can tie it around your waist, you can put it on your head, anywhere. You become the Samaritan as soon as you put it, or I'm sorry, the man. All right, and then we have a pastor. Who would like to be the pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Wonderful, Liz. We've got the pastor.
Want to get up now?
Yep, you can get up now. Yep, I'll put you Where you go. You can put this wherever you'd like. You can put it around your neck or however. Yep. And then we've also got, a church worker. Oh, it's like everybody in this room. Anybody can be this. Anybody a church worker who wants to? Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. Great. Don't worry, we're not giving out awards for these acting skills. We've got a Samaritan. Okay, there's May, the Good Samaritan. Okay, this one's like a loop, so you can kind of loop that around. And then last one, we need an innkeeper. This one's kind of, they just kind of hang till the end, but wonderful. Thanks, Valerie. Great. Great. So sometimes we do have, a lot of times when we do this, we'll have like the robbers and then that can get out of hand as well. But okay, so now this time I'm going to narrate the story and I'm going to kind of move you to where we need you to go. So we're going to start back again. But the man wanted to make himself look good. So I'm actually going to ask one of you who's seated to ask this question. So he asked Jesus,
"And who is my neighbor?"
Then Jesus replied with a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Here comes our man. Robbers attacked him. Stephen, Emily, I need you to be robbers real quick. Oh, yes. Oh, no. And now he's down on the ground. He's down. They really got him. Okay. They stripped off his clothes and beat him. Then they went away, leaving him almost dead. Okay, so our poor man. What's going to happen next? We see what happens next. Can you flip the... Yep, no problem. A priest happened to be going... Where's our pastor, priest? Yes, happened to be going down that same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Oh, no. See, look, he's laying there. A Levite or church worker also came by. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side, too. But a Samaritan came to the place where the man was. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him. Okay, he helped him up. What happened next? He went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wound, and bandaged him. Do you want to put this bandage? Let's help this man. We'll help him out. Poor guy. Oh, he's got an arm sling. That's a good one. I don't know if I've ever seen the arm sling. Usually people will wrap it around their head or that's perfect. That's a sling. Perfect. Then he put the man on his own donkey. We also have had people be donkeys too. That's really fun. Yes. He took him to an inn and took care of him. So can I give you that? Here we go. Okay, so we're going to the innkeeper, which is Valerie. Here we go. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins. There actually are coins in there, believe it or not. They're pretend coins. I've got a rock in there. My kids help me with all these fake coins. They have all kinds of crazy things.
Like there's a credit card.
Yeah, exactly. There's something out. Who knows what's in there? And then you say, take care of him. When I return, I will pay you back any extra expense.
When I return, I'll pay you back anything above and beyond that.
All right. Awesome. Oh, and he takes care of him. Thank you. Great job. Great job, everybody.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
We got the... always had costumes.
That's awesome.
I just have to share something hilarious with you. Someone from the church would make the costumes, and the Jesus one, it was all white with the hood, but the hood was pointed.
Oh, gracious.
So we said, leave the hood down. Leave the hood down.
Oh, gracious. Yeah, oh, my word. That's so sweet that somebody made costumes.
We had them, and we would do this every
That's
week.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's really sweet that somebody would do that.
What did he make that? What did he say?
It looked like Jesus one looked like a Ku Klux Klan because it was a point. Yeah. So we told him to leave.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you so much.
Definitely down.
Yeah. Does anybody watch The Chosen?
Yes.
And did you see the episode? It's extra biblical.
Yeah.
But when a Jesus had, I think it's James and John, plow a field with a stranger. It turns out to be the
robber. Oh.
And Jesus ministers to the robber, forgives him. The robber hurt his leg in the rough episode, and he heals the man's leg.
I didn't know that. I don't know.
In perspective taking.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So great. So thank you guys. You all did awesome. Thank you for helping to act that out. So,
I have a question. Now, in the special needs classroom, mm-hmm. where many of the children are nonverbal,
mm-hmm.
Would the volunteers, teachers read the story?
Yes. So a lot of times, this acting it out is actually a really awesome way of getting nonverbal students involved, because mm-hmm. as soon as you put that scarf on, or as soon as you give them a prop, they are a part of the story. And so even if they're not speaking, even if they're not reading the verses along with you, even if their aide, if they have an aide or a buddy, is reading for them, that is a really great way of getting those students involved. So we'll often give them a part in the acting out. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, do you usually ask the people if they want to be the priest?
Yes, there are definitely students who don't like this part. So there's some that are shy, they just don't want to do this part, but then there's a lot that do want to do this.
Yeah,
so you kind of take it, you get to know your students, you get to see who likes, who doesn't. Mm-hmm. There's a sweet guy in one of our groups who will just every time, I'm good. Every time I ask him to do that, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. And so, you just get to know your students and you see, like, what they like.
And how would nonverbal tell you they wanted to be part of it?
So, typically, a lot of our nonverbal students will either have aides or their parents will kind of have conversations with them before, the studies, like, before they even enter the class, honestly. To, so does Natalie like to, does she want it? Do you think she wants to be a part? And they know them the best. That's their parent. They love them. So they will usually let us know, like, oh, my word, she gets really excited. Like, you could just see it in her eyes when she likes to be a part of this or not, And so that's usually how we'll kind of figure that out.
Sometimes they'll stand up.
Okay, so now we're getting to the part called understanding the story. So this is the part where we're kind of unpacking what we just did. So do you guys love stories?
Yes.
So a person came up to Jesus, as we saw, and asked him how could he love his neighbor. So he answered him by telling him a story. There was a Jewish man who was beaten up. So we're going to draw this out as we're talking about it. Now, this is kind of just a little history lesson. Down here we have Jerusalem. I might be using the wrong marker. Sorry about that. I'm using an Expo marker instead of a... Thank you, Anne. So here we are in Jerusalem. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thanks. And then here is Jericho. Now it says, you'll see in the lesson, it says that, or in the scripture, it'll say, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him. But actually, that's not a, it's not a geographical. The way that the landscape is that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It shows on our picture that Jericho is actually higher elevation than Jerusalem. So he's here at Jerusalem and he's going to Jericho. And he was attacked. So let's make our, what color should I make her?
Red.
Yeah. Let's draw him this way and then we'll draw his little, so this is our guy. Remember, we do bubble people and they are not, he's probably very upset. Yeah, he does. Doesn't he look like a turtle? And he's got some cuts and bruises. I'm just going to draw. Look at him. He's all over. He got beat up. So that's our guy. And then who's our next person that comes up? Does anybody remember? Our next person that comes up. Yes, the priest. So Jesus picked a pastor, because pastors usually do what's right all the time, right? Mm. Do they? Okay. Okay. So he picked a pastor. Let's draw this pastor. We're going to give him, you know what? We're going to give him a top hat because he's kind of an important guy, right? We think he's pretty important. He's probably surprised to see this guy. So there's our pastor. Now, what did he did he stop? No. No. Okay. So he walks around this guy, right? He's on his way here. He has a place to go. Now, the second person comes along. Let's have this guy coming from here. And he is, do you remember what Sarah was? Does anybody remember what Sarah was?
The church.
Church worker, yes. This guy has a smaller, he has a smaller job. Yes. 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 You missed your calling. No, I'm just kidding. So there's our, this guy's also surprised. He has a smaller top hat because he's a church worker, but he's not a pastor. So he's, here he is. He's got his small. And he looked, but did he stop? No, he didn't. So here he goes. He looked, oh, but he did not stop. He just kept going. All right, and then we have a little bit of back history is that Samaritans were actually not liked by Jewish people when this happened. People used to say that Samaritans were not good people. But here in this story, Jesus said that the Samaritan stopped and helped. So let's draw our Samaritan. Let's have him wear one of the scarves. He looked and he had compassion. He stopped. All right. And then what did he do? What did the Samaritan do? He stopped, and what else did he do? Go ahead. Yes. So let's just draw this. He's pouring that. And he gave him a bandage, right? Bandaged his wounds. Yep. And he put him on what? Yes. And whose donkey was it?
His
own. Yeah. So he was probably traveling, right? And he had his own. This is going to be funny. Drawing a donkey. I'm not a good drawer. This is our donkey. They have like, do they have pointed ears?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Cute little tail.
There's a, it's kind of like a dog. A dog donkey. That's our donkey. Okay. So there's our donkey. Oh, that's another fun thing is that our students are always making fun of our drawings, which is just, because we're not great drawers. And so sometimes we'll say, well, then you come up and draw. And they love that. Or sometimes they let us go. But most of the times they laugh at our drawings. So, so he put him on his own donkey. All right. So we are going to actually watch a little video of this exact story that we just drew out here real quick. Actually, can we pop the lights off for this? Because it's a little...
The Miracle of Mercy, the Good Samaritan. This is Jesus, who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he wanted everyone to know what God thought about things. So he took every opportunity to teach people about God's heart. One day, a religious expert stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? What does the law say? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
All right.
Do this and you will live.
Wait.
The man then asked, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, Yeah. He crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by.
La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Whoa!
Another man who worked in the temple, who was called a Levite, walked over and looked at him lying there.
He's out.
But he also passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan came along. Samaritans were hated by Jews. They were seen as lesser people, and Jews would not interact with them. But when the Samaritan saw the man, he felt compassion for him, going over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him.
What in the room is there?
The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes. Now go and do the same."
Awesome. Thanks, Em. So I forgot to put here who these people are. So this is the Samaritan. This is the church worker. I'm sorry. That's the pastor. This is the Samaritan. And this is the Jewish man. And I don't think I have to label the donkey, but just in case, we'll put donkey. There we go. Okay. So when you see the Samaritan, oh, can we pop the lights back on? I don't want anybody to fall asleep. When you see the Samaritan, how he acted, how was the Samaritan like Jesus when Jesus was at the funeral? Now, this is a kind of a review question. So if you were in the first session, Jesus was at the funeral of a woman whose son had died. So we're going to get a hint from the scripture itself. So can we go forward, Em, like 2, I think it's 2, maybe back 1, back 1 more. Okay. So what do you see here that's the first clue that we think the Samaritan is going to stop? Yes. What's before that? Yes, when he saw the man. So the Samaritan did what? What did he do? He saw. He looked. Yes. How else was he like Jesus? You guys said this one already. Yes. Yes, he had compassion. He felt sorry for him. So when we talk about feeling sorry, we talk about, I'm going to flip this. We talk about compassion like this. Let's say this is our heart. This is a pretty simple and helpful visual to remember. What is an example of compassion? What does our heart do? It fills up with something. He felt sorry for him. What did it fill up with? Care, yes. Filled up with love for him, right? Yes. So we like to say that when you have compassion, your heart fills up with love for them or care. And it also filled up with something else probably. If you see somebody who's hurting on the side of the road, they're bleeding, they're beat up, what else would you be filled? You'd fill with love, but something else. Yes, sadness. Yeah, you're sharing that. That's not an easy thing to look at, right? Because Jesus said the first thing he did was he saw the man, and his heart filled up with compassion and with sadness. What was the Samaritan sad about? This is
that he was hurt.
That he was hurt, right? You could tell that the man was really hurt. How else did the Samaritan act like Jesus? So he saw him, he felt sorry for him, but then
he did something about him.
Yes. Exactly. He helped. He washed the, it says in the next one, he poured olive oil and wine on his wounds and he bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to the inn and took care of him. So why do you think that the pastor and the church worker walked away? This is a little hard.
It was
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write these answers down. Yes. So, walked away because
it was better than him.
Hmm. He was hurt.
And they thought they were.
Mm-hmm. Thought they were better. Mm-hmm. What are some other ideas?
Too busy.
Mm-hmm.
No involvement. They didn't want to defile them.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Wow, these are great answers. Didn't want to defile themselves. Whoops, I'm spelling wrong. I have awful handwriting, too. My kids always tell me that. Anything else you can think of why they might have walked away?
Maybe they didn't agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe even they were afraid, they could have been afraid of his pain, his hurt. They could have also been afraid the robbers were still hiding in the rocks and they would come and beat them up. Maybe they were just in a hurry, they were too busy. So we don't know exactly why they didn't stop, but we know they didn't. So who here doesn't want their schedule interrupted? Yeah. Who here doesn't want their schedule interrupted? Yeah. I have trouble with this too. Yeah, I don't think there's many of us who like our schedules interrupted. What are some examples of what the Samaritan had to give? So there's some obvious ones, and then there might be some not so obvious ones. What are some examples right from the scripture?
Go ahead.
Time. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His donkey, yes. Yep. Yep.
I'm not sure the significance of oil and wine.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, that he had bandages.
Yes.
He had a medical supply.
Yes. He's like an EMT. Yeah, he got all of his stuff. Yes. That's a good, I've actually never thought about that. Why did he have that?
Yeah.
You know? I've never, that's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? He had the available equipment and resources with him, but he wasn't afraid to use it on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like you were all saying, this is not, it's a scary situation.
Exactly, exactly.
And since Samaritans and Jews didn't get along,
right,
with the wrath of his fellow Samaritans.
That is a great point. We've talked about this before when we've done this lesson about how not only is he taking on, he's giving away these things and his time, but also, you know, reputation. This is the Jewish and people and the Samaritans did not get along. So, yeah. Yeah. What does he give to the innkeeper? We talk about this later, but in the next verse, I think. What does he give to the innkeeper? Yeah, he gives him money. So he even gave him his own money. Do you guys like to share your money? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't always like to share my money. I do sometimes, but not always. I don't always like to share my money. So, yeah, this Jesus, the gospel here, we can see it shown in this story that Jesus felt the cost of love for each of us. And he did what the Good Samaritan did by dying on the cross for us, taking our sin and our shame on himself and giving his righteousness to us. So each of us is like the wounded man on the side of the road, and Jesus stopped for us. So is it hard to interrupt our schedule and stop and show love to somebody?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is. If you're in a hurry, is it hard to slow down and stop? Yeah. So Jesus is never in a hurry. He stops when he sees that we're hurt, and Jesus always cares. He is looking, he is sad when we are sad, and he is helping us. So we have something in a lot of our core lessons. Actually, I'm going to try to incorporate it here. Called the three steps of love. And we talk about this over and over again in this compassion manual. It looks like a wedding cake, kind of. But we draw this out over and over again, and we refer back to it. That's kind of why we like flip charts, because you can flip it back over and go back to old drawings. And we try to keep one per lesson, because it kind of helps us. But we do this. What did he first do?
Lou.
I'm not going to tell you. What did he first do? What was the first step of love that the Samaritan did for the Jewish man?
He looked.
He looked. I gave it away. Yes. And then what did we call this when his heart filled up?
Love.
Compassion. Yes, it's a big word. Another word for love. Compassion. And then the final thing that he did, I think, what was your first name? I'm sorry.
Barbara.
What did Barbara say that he also did? The third thing that he did. He looked, he had compassion, and then he helped. Exactly. So we usually draw a hand here. Three, one, two, three, four, five. I had to make sure I had enough fingers. So that's kind of, this is a really kind of foundational part of all of the lessons that we talk about in compassion, that loving involves looking, having compassion, letting your heart fill up with sadness, and then helping. And it's Jesus shows that over and over and over again in his ministry. So that's it for today. I'm going to close us in a prayer, and then we'll have time for some questions. We actually have about 15, 20 minutes for questions. So, all right, I'm going to read the prayer that we have here. Jesus, you gave us this story to show us how you want us to love. We want to do what you want us to do. Please help us love people and let our schedules get messed up. Please help us to be able to stop if we're in a hurry. Be willing to look for people who need help. Amen. So that's our lesson. And then there it is. That's an actual turtle. It's not like my people. But yeah, this is the sheet that all of our students would get to remember to slow down, look, and think about others. And that's kind of what they get sent home with them, along with the scripture.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I wouldn't expect special kids to know this, but we all do. Mm-hmm. How this just reminds us how aptly named Franklin Graham's organization is.
Yes. Yes. That's a good, I never even thought of that. Samaritan's Purse. That's a great, yeah.
She was looking, I didn't hear what she said.
You want to say it again, Barbara?
Not the kids would know this, but we know this. And the story just underscores for us and reminds us how aptly named Franklin Graham's organization is Samaritan's Purse. They go to every disaster all over the world. Mm-hmm. They have Operation Christmas Child with the shoeboxes and the toys.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Mm-hmm. So I like how you addressed every learning style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some children need to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some children need to, you know, act it out.
Mm-hmm. Be involved.
Do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reinforcement is like, it was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, you all mentioned it in the last class, like think about how this applies to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this was it was cute, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I personally enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be willing to have your schedule interrupted, because I can think yesterday of a situation where I could have stopped, I could have acknowledged. And so it's like you know, you're teaching, but you're also, you know, you're not bored of this same information that you're teaching and sharing is for you too.
Yes.
It's just, it's, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Good.
I love acting and colors and drawing and all of that stuff. I
started
to get, and then it was, you know, it's just very, like you just shared, like you're touching all different
all
styles
the different
of
learning.
So no one is left out and everybody can grab a hold to something, whether it be visually or whether you're acting it out, to remember it. Because the goal is not to just, you know, see a nice, do a nice fun lesson and then forget about it, but something, for some way that it can stick to you, you can take it home and that you live it out for the rest of your days. And so the way that this is laid out, I think that that is, that's what's going to happen. That will happen. And this is not just for kids. I'm thinking about kids in general. It's not just for kids who are disabled, but kids who are not disabled.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And Valerie, too, even you had said something, and I am not kidding, every time we do these lessons, you know, you prepare for it, you read it through, but every time, because of the interactive format, you said something I had never heard before about, like, the oil and wine. I wonder what that signified. I'd never thought about that. And so every time we teach these, the students will say something, or somebody will say something, and you'll be like, oh, my word, I never thought that, or something. Especially the perspective that a lot of our students have about slowing down, like their lives are slowed down a lot of times. Like they have to do things slow a lot of times. And it is really, I think a lot of times I've noticed that they grab onto this even way more than I do, that it's important to slow down and to look and to see people. And so when you hear their perspective too, it just brings a whole other element to what you're learning about, and then you're learning alongside, like you said, it's not just the students. Was somebody else going to say?
How old are the kids that you're teaching that you would teach this exact lesson to?
You know, I teach mostly adults, like 22 and above. But
I'm sorry.
I said I teach mostly adults 22 and above. We have seen this curriculum used in elementary age kids, middle school, high school. So it's pretty flexible.
Okay.
And the principles of God's Word apply to everybody.
Great.
So it really depends on what you want to do with it.
Okay.
But when it was first written by Jill Miller, it was written for her daughter, Kim, and her friends, because she felt like there was nothing for them that really worked to disciple them. And they were in their 20s, you know, at that time.
And she was nonverbal, right?
Kim is nonverbal. She has a talking device. And she can say a few words, but she's mostly nonverbal, yeah. And she does, there's sign language, too, so she's a super smart woman. But she does have, you know, things that hold her back. She's actually in my Sunday school class, so I can see her.
I like the three different ways you do it. To
reinforce it. And we mentioned in the curriculum too, there are other ways besides what we did. I mean, some people use puppets to tell the story. So there's other things you can do as well. If you really need to tell the story at least three different times, three different ways, to really get it in people's minds, and then they're ready for to talk about it and apply it. First, they got to know it. You got to know the story. And the other thing that I love about it is that it's really about Jesus. Jesus told this story, but he lived that. He did that. He did it with the woman, the widow of Nain. He did, you know, saw her, felt compassion for her, and helped her, right? And then he turns around and tells his disciples, this is what you need to do. You need to see people. You need to have compassion in your heart for them and share their sadness. You need to help them. And then he tells another story about the prodigal son, and that's what the father did for the prodigal son, right? He saw him come running. He felt compassion for him, and he helped him, right? So every the pattern throughout the New Testament is all over Jesus' ministry, these three steps of love. They come right from his teachings and his life. He's doing it. And that's what we want our students to see him, see Jesus, see what he's like, and then learn to love him and follow him and try to be like him.
Do as he did, yeah.
Thank you.
So that's the whole, you know, kind of underlying structure. Yes.
Just in September, Five and Two Ministries, that's Dallas Jenkins. They're coming out with a Chosen cartoon series.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
The one that you use, is that from a particular website?
The video? Yeah, that's the Saddleback Kids.
Saddleback Kids, yeah.
Saddleback Kids.
They have a whole channel.
If you just go and Google Saddleback Kids videos,
they have ones for everything. Yeah.
Hundreds of them, all different Bible stories.
Are they free?
Yes, and we don't. Yeah, we don't always use. So again, depending on the class, sometimes the older students like the more dramatic presentations, and there's some really good stuff out there. You want to vet it, obviously, before you show it to the whole class. But there really are some good, just little clips of video, and it helps reinforce the story. So
I think there's another one. It's called Crossroads?
Crossway? Is it Crossway or Crossroads?
Yeah. The Miracle of Mercy.
I was trying to get on the channel.
The Good Samaritan.
No.
Saddleback.
Yeah, there
they are. So, yeah, it has like all the different major stories.
And then there's some actual dramas too, acted up by real people.
So it's on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, you can touch it. Look at that.
So there's Josiah, there's all different Old Testament.
They have dance videos too, but yeah.
It does a lot of the big ones. It doesn't do all of them. And some of them actually, you'll see we break apart some of the lessons because there's just too much meat. So we don't always show the video, but we do tell it three times. So, yeah.
Go back up here.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a picture of the top.
So it doesn't go straight through the Bible, your curriculum? From Genesis to Revelation, or is it?
No, it was originally started, Jill Miller adapted her husband's study of Jesus, Jesus, which is a five book series study of the person of Jesus. So that was the first one she actually did. So we have five lesson books, about 56 lessons that are all from the Gospels, all Jesus' interaction with people, and showing different aspects of Jesus' character and person, so that the students could really learn about him. Right? He's a real person. And they need to know this real person and what he's like. And that's, you
so
know.
So where you teach the lessons, is it in a Sunday school setting, a church?
I teach in my church. Yeah. My church does my adult disability class. Okay. Like that, yeah.
And is but, that like on a Sunday morning? Like
yeah, on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. But we also, as a mission, do Bible studies in the evenings for locals, people that go to our church. So we do Monday. Next Monday we'll start another series.
And we have another fellow who's a volunteer with our ministry who goes into different group homes because a lot of times those in group homes, for whatever reason, aren't able to actually get to a church physically. So he'll go visit and he'll do this Bible study in there. Yeah, which is neat.
My kids volunteered at a Christian camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they did, it was called Camp Sunrise, and they gave Bible lessons. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a Christian camp. I don't know how much it was. Mm-hmm.
We do have a couple of Old Testament books that we've done. So we've done Book of Ruth, Book of Esther, Book of Jonah. So but we don't have Genesis to Revelation of the whole
yet. Yeah. Come on, Jill.
She's actually reporting a story about the Bible. She's noticed that group homes and day homes, they don't want to know at the beginning, you know.
Right, the big picture.
Yeah, the big overall picture. Another YouTube channel that we're talking about, I think in the first session, was the Bible Project. Mm-hmm. That's another animated visual.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, we use that for Esther.
That's a helpful one.
That's not animated.
Well, it's like drawn out.
Yeah, like drawn out.
The drawn out Bible stories, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources that are free that you can use.
Yeah, short clips.
And it does reinforce the story.
Mm-hmm. So you
have your particular curriculum which you're presenting today. Mm-hmm. But where does Saddleback Kids fit in? Are you recommending that, or are you just saying it should be vetted if you want
We're recommending that they're a great source of short little mm-hmm. clips or videos yeah. to help tell the story another way.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any affiliation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're physically based.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would trust the material mm-hmm. to be, you know,
because it's obviously important.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kinds of stuff.
Oh my word,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And it.
You said you have to vet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a lot of our books, we actually have the exact link of the video that we use, but unfortunately, these links can change really quickly, and these are published, so it's
yeah.
it can be hard. Sometimes the actual links that we put in here, like we have, like,
it's
you can
time,
see, it'll be like, you know, watch, question mark, like all, the whole exact link,
yeah.
but then you'll put it in and it'll say error, and you're like, ugh. So sometimes they do switch the links up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do have to.
So it's better just to kind of search under the subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also do it with like younger kids, like preschool, first grade, second, like the younger kids that would be in disability.
I haven't heard of that in a church setting. I know that there are parents who use it with their kids and their family,
mm-hmm.
and teach their kids of all different ages,
mm-hmm.
including young like that. They're using it as a kind of like family devotional
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know of churches who use it in their elementary age class.
Mm-hmm.
That's the youngest I'm aware of.
And you do have to account for like attention span at that
mm-hmm.
point. So sometimes our lessons can be, they tend to be about an hour. Is like
minutes,
45
yeah.
to an hour is like our, and that can be a little tough to get through
yes.
with a little kid's
more.
Class.
Yes.
So I would say in that case, a lot of people have come asking us, and we just kind of say you might need to adapt it even further for your
to
age group if it's, yeah, if it's
yeah.
just a case.
Is your church in Bethesda, Maryland?
Actually, no. Although we do have a church that uses it in Bethesda, Maryland, which is funny. But our
church
is, yeah. They do. They do use the curriculum.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. The name comes from John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda.
Yeah.
But we're not affiliated with the church. We're affiliated with a ministry called See Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're part of that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It focuses on disability.
And where's your church located?
My personal church?
Yeah,
it's Haverton, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and I'm Telford, which is not far away.
Calvary Church in Haverton.
Okay. Emily goes to Calvary.
Shalfa.
It's a couple hours from St. Sam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
St. Sam's all the way out in Lancaster.
Out there.
Yeah,
yeah.
West.
Mm-hmm.
But all three of us go to different churches.
Mm-hmm.
But each of us have opportunities to teach at our church. And
yeah. We have a different Bethesda Bible studies at all. That's what's crazy is a lot of people will say, like, I don't really have that many people that have special needs at our church. And we'll be like, you start something and they will come. Because a lot of times what happens is there isn't an offering, you know. And so once you start a ministry, you will see a lot of families come.
So See Jesus is the overall discipleship ministry that works with churches to provide discipleship materials, books, training for how to lead small groups and Sunday school classes. And then they created another division called Bethesda that focuses on disability ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a youth ministry section,
mm-hmm.
the women's ministry section, there's, you know. So it's a lot of different things, all discipleship based, but then there's pieces underneath it that we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So See Jesus is the overall ministry.
Okay.
If you were to send us a donation, you'd have to send it to See Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have our own bank.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Which I love the name See Jesus. I mean, what more would you want to do with See Jesus?
Yeah.
An
easy search, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But CGs.net, if you want to go to the website.
Yeah.
So I think we're...
Yeah. Do you want me to quick pray for us, and then we can head?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Thank you that you give us eyes to see you. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we can study it and that you open our eyes every time we spend time with you in your word. So thank you for these folks that came out. Thank you for the way that you make yourself known. And I pray that you bless each one as we go about our day. In your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.